written the word discernment on the board means judicial estimation, the ability to discern things that you cannot see with your normal eyes, the ability to comprehend and look beyond what might be seen in the natural, and view things that are under the surface or something that if someone is not gifted or able to look at something in that way, that they would be able to understand it. You can look at a car, for instance, and you can see the outside of it, what it does, its purpose of taking you from one place to another. But if you are gifted or you understand the inner workings, you can understand how that car moves from one place to another. You can understand the way that the engine works, the way that the transmission works. You can get down to very deep details of the fluids that are necessary and the way that the gears work together and the way that the fuel combusts and all of the particulars and the details that are involved in the inner parts that you cannot see by looking on the outward. And it is our burden this afternoon that it would be impressed on our minds as to the discernment of spiritual things. That we would have our eyes open, that we would have our understanding enlightened to understand things that are beyond the surface. I have found over the past couple of months, and some of those that are maybe here from the home congregation will have to bear with me, but I have found that this burden has been on my heart continually for several weeks. And the Lord will open up one aspect of it and another aspect of it and again. But I come back to the thought in the scripture in Psalms, I believe, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If there's no sight, if there's no ability for us to see beyond what is on the surface, then we are in a very scary and dangerous place, as we heard about last night. We're in a place where we are unable to determine and discern what is going on beyond what is readily available to the natural eyes. You can go out and you can talk to people that are in the world, talk to them about society in general, and they may point at problems or things that they see that are wrong with society, but there is a need for us to have a deeper understanding, to have a spiritual vision as to what is occurring in the world that's going on around us, to have an understanding as to what is coming against our families, what is coming against the church as a whole, what is coming against me and my life and my endeavors to live for God. We are not a people or a part of our blessing is that we live in a place of light, a place of being able to see and to discern what is going on beyond the natural. Now, there is a spiritual man that has the ability to see and to hear. Beyond the things, again, in the natural. You can speak to me, but there is an ability by the Spirit of God to discern beyond where those words come from, the spirit that is behind it, the attitude or what is going on beneath the surface. Now, there are gifts of this, but I believe in my heart that it is something that is given to each child of God that is filled with His Spirit, the ability to live a life and understand where the enemy is, to be properly equipped to combat that enemy, to be successful in living and serving God. It may be in our time, as it is the different technology that has gone on and all of the advancements of man, that there is a greater need than ever for us to see beyond the things that are visible with the natural eyes. To be able to see the spiritual aspect of where the enemy is working, of where he's coming at me and my family, that I might fight against it. I do not fight blindly. I do not punch the air or at shadows. But by the Spirit of the Lord, we are able to identify and see the enemy is coming in this area. And I would warn you this afternoon that if you are in a place that you cannot identify the enemy, do you know where he's attacking you? Can you look and see this is where he's coming at me? And if we are blind to this, then we are in a very dangerous place and we need to seek before the Lord that our eyes be open, that we can see the attempts and the inroads or the places that the enemy is working. Now, it may be different for you and me. There may be places where the enemy is attacking me that is different than you, but the Spirit is still able to reveal to me by His power this is where the enemy is at. Now, He has a purpose. He has a place, and I'm going to write this graphic on the board. I shared this some at home in partiality, but it helps bring this point home. It helps strike it into our mind. We all have a heart. We have a place where we are able to see and to hear things that are spiritual. Things that are of the enemy or of the Lord. We have an understanding that things do not just happen just to happen. Part of my burden is that we begin to strip away some of the natural of the things that we are taught from children as to what life is all about. It goes beyond the things that you see with your natural. As the song said, the things of this world fade away, and there is a need for us to strip back on a daily basis the things that would press on that we think are important for this time, and we see what is beyond it and behind it, that we might fight, that we might be effective, that we might be capable soldiers in the army of the Lord, that when the enemy is coming, that we're not looking at the things that are seen, as the Scripture says, but at the things which are not seen, that we might identify this is where the enemy is at. Now we have a heart, each and every one of us. There's no one that is absent from this, but each of us has a place inside. And just as the song service went forward and we're blessed in our heart, we're inspired, it's because there is a being in here that responds to that and it moves. It's beyond the natural again. You can have the worst singing. You can be off tune. It can be off beat. But the message will go down and it will meet and attend to the heart that's inside. The spiritual being that responds to that, because there is an experience that I have that feels that, that knows that. Yeah, you can take the best choir, you can take the best people on tune, but if the message isn't there, the Spirit isn't behind it, there's no food. There's nothing that feeds the heart that's inside, but it's the Spirit behind it that it's going to be anointed, that's going to have a blessing to it. So we have this heart. We have this ability in us to perceive, and I'm going to move kind of quickly through this, but on each side, you have God on one side, and you have Satan on the other. Understand this is what is really going on. This is the existence of life. You can take the jobs, the house, you can take all of the natural things and strip them away and understand what is really happening. Even this afternoon, as we sit here, as your mind wanders to the cares of life and the things that are going on, understand the spiritual battle that exists right now. For your soul, for your heart, in this meeting, as you go about, there is work to be done, spiritually speaking, beyond the relationships, beyond the... And it's good to see each other, it's good for the fellowship, but understand the spiritual aspect that continues day in and day out. Even as you sleep, this battle continues and goes forward, and it behooves us to be conscious of it and to be aware of it on a regular basis. That we be not caught up in the things in the natural, the things that we can see with our eyes, but that we're awakened and alive to the spiritual aspect that is most important, that is eternal. It lives on. That this battle that exists will last forever, for eternity. There's no end to it. You have a space of time in life now, and how you respond to the different influences on our heart is going to impact you forever. Forever. That the time is not going to end, and that is how vital and important this battle really is. That we look beyond the things that are seen and we see the things that are unseen. Now, I have a couple of adjectives here of the places that the Lord wants to bring us. We have a place of love. We have a place of life. And there are many scriptures that we could take the time to bear out, but I think you'll find that these fall in line. We have a place of truth. We have a place of hope. We have a place of growth. We have a place of fulfillment. My handwriting is getting worse as we go here. A place of belonging. We sang this morning or this afternoon about home, about being in a place where we belong to. There is a place of protection. All of these things are the condition or the place that God wants to bring our heart to, our spiritual being, wants to bring it to a place of love, of life, of truth, of growth, of protection, of peace, of wealth, the right wealth. We won't continue to write here, but of power and of life. And these are the things that as the Spirit moves through the conditions of life, through the struggles of life, through the temptations and through all of the things that we endure, God wants to bring us to this place of enjoyment. Take away all the things that are natural and see the spiritual aspect of what God is wanting to do for us. But just as this is real, we love to sing about the blessings of God and the place He wants to bring us to. And we have many songs in our song book, in our hymnal, that detail the place that God wants to bring us. We don't sing a whole lot because we don't want to give glory to it, but we must understand that just as real as that is, that there is a battle existing, as we heard about this morning, Satan doing his job, and the desire and the place that he wants to bring us. Now, it's essentially the opposite of where God has us or wants to take us to, but it is a place of hate. It is a place of death, of destruction, of pain, a place of suffering, of sickness, all in a spiritual sense, understand. A place where your spirit is sick, where it's broken, where it's hurting. Understand that when we talk about Satan, it's not that he wants to do this in a quick effect, but as painfully and as drawn out as possible. He wants to hurt your family more than you can imagine. Your children, anyone that you know, any way that he can use you to influence and cause more pain, he's going to do that. All we have to do is look at the world at large, look at culture, look at the world that is under the dominion of Satan, and you see the effects of the sickness, of the heartache, of the hurt, of the pain. It's not a quick process. It's not something that he just, once he has them, he's ready for them to die and go on. But he wants it to be a condition on a daily basis of suffering, of torture, and of pain. Understand who we're dealing with this afternoon on a regular basis, and the condition and the effect that he wants to have on every life that is here. If he can claim just one child or two child and bring them to this condition, this is the battle that's really going on. Yeah. Strip away everything else. Strip away what this person said or what's going on, and see the spiritual behind it. When one comes and says something and it hurts me, understand the spirit behind it. Yea, Lord, I want to find a place of love, of life, of truth, of safety, of protection, of belonging. And I don't want to be in a place where I'm hurting, where I'm sick, where I'm tortured, where I'm in a place of pain. And God is able, as we submit to Him, to take us to those places. But if we're not able to see with our spiritual eyes, and we're not able to look beyond the natural, and we're not able to lift our eyes above, or maybe it's below, and see beneath what is going on, then it's hard for us to find that place. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where we lose sight of the spiritual battle that exists. Now, we heard this morning about the call for us to live a holy life, to live a life of holiness before God. In this generation, in this time, in this place, with all that goes on even now in this world, and all the tools that the enemy has devised to use, in all of the places where his spirit goes forward and has an impact on people's lives, yet am I to live holy in this life now, as I have been made by my Creator, with my weaknesses, with my places where I need God, in my places where I'm not strong, I'm yet to live holy in this world even now. The remember that the power of God, and we know the scripture that says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. God is able to keep us, to save us, to keep us holy in this place. But it is not well for us if we do not visualize and see with our spiritual understanding the aspect of what we face and what is going on. Now there is a knowledge. There is a place for us. Think of 1 Kings. We won't take time to read it in the third chapter. Do you remember when the Lord God gave Solomon one wish or one desire? His desire was to have knowledge, he said, of discernment, to know between good and evil, that he would be able to see it and understand. And the Lord was so pleased that he blessed him beyond that. But here was Solomon, his request was to have knowledge, to know and to understand. And isn't that our prayer today? Isn't what our prayer on a daily basis? Lord, how do I live in a presentable way to you? How do I lay my head on my pillow at night, knowing in full awareness and full confidence that I have pleased you with my life today, that I have not allowed the enemy and his efforts to have an impact on me? It is our same prayer. It is our same desire that we would have a knowledge of the good and the evil that exist. This does not come by the natural. The scripture talks about their ears or their eyes are closed and their ears are stopped. They're not able to comprehend. We find Jesus often time and time again, he referred to things in nature as a parable, and he said it was because their eyes were closed and their ears were dull of hearing, that they were unable to perceive, they were unable to see it. Even the disciples before the fullness came, they were there's ones that wanted didn't want to receive Jesus there, and their question was he going to bring fire out of heaven to destroy them, as the prophet did? And he told them, you don't know what spirit you're of. Your eyes are not open. You're not seeing what really is going on and what the will of God is. And we find after the fullness came, after their day of Pentecost, that their eyes were opened as to see what it was they were to be doing, to be endued with power, to have knowledge. When they went about preaching and they would go and they would carry the gospel forward, they were able to discern what was occurring, what message needed to be preached, what example needed to be lived, how they were to bring forth the gospel effectively. It wasn't because of the natural eyes to look upon it, but because they were in tune with the spiritual aspect of what the kingdom really was, how it needed to be applied. And when they met the sick heart or the one that was lame, there was an understanding here, a discernment, a knowledge of what was right and what was wrong and how to deal with those things. Is it any less for us today? I pray not, because if I am to live my life blindly, if I'm not able to see, it's no different from where I was. But in the experience with God, there is a fullness that comes that I can live in confidence before Him, that I have lived as He has required or He has asked, and my eyes are open to that, that it may be revealed. Now in the Old Testament, under the Old Law, the prophets, or I should say the priest, Ezekiel and Leviticus bring it out, that when they went into the temple, they had a responsibility to establish what was clean and what was unclean, what was good and what was evil. It was their role as priests to establish this so that the people might know what was acceptable and what was not. But we find when Jesus came, He fulfilled that place of the high priest. He goes in place of that, and as He comes in and cleanses us, there is now an awareness and an understanding that comes with that as to what is clean and what is unclean. When Peter came and the sheet came down and he told him, arise and eat, it became no longer a natural thing, but a spiritual thing now. We're dealing with the spiritual aspect of a heart, and there are evil things in the world, and if we don't understand what is right and what is wrong, we can become defiled. We can become separated. We can become in a place where we don't have the fullness of vision as to what we're facing. It's to beware. It's to take heed. It's to be on your guard. But beyond that, my burden is, and I'm inspired, that we are a people of light. That we are a people of power. That we have been delivered something by the Holy Spirit, that we're not blinded to the things of this world, that we can live in confidence of what is right and what is wrong, that it is revealed to us in our knowledge of the Word, in our relationship with God. There's one scripture that says that it is by their knowledge of God, their closeness to Him, that things are revealed and you can see what is right and what is wrong. But we don't live in a place of guessing. It is easy for us. If we were to turn out all the lights, and if it's dark, we say, just don't move. Don't move at all. Stay in your seat because I can't see the dangers that exist. But because we live in a place of light, we can see the obstacles and the things that could hurt us, and we are able to move freely by His Spirit, effectively in His kingdom, recognizing the dangers that exist. If everything is wrong, there's no light either. And if everything is right, there's no light. There's no vision there. But there is an ability for us to live in this world, in its darkness, in its place of great destruction, where the spirits of Satan run rampant, and we can visualize and see these things, that we might live a holy and acceptable life. It has been delivered to us. It is something that has been provided. I appreciate the truth that has been handed down, but it also goes deeper than that. That you can have it for yourself is something that you recognize the principles and the understanding as to why we do the things we do, of why we don't go the places we don't go, of what the Spirit is behind it. But if you can't see the Spirit, if you can't see the spiritual aspect, then your eyes are blinded as to why we're a peculiar people, why we're different, why we do things differently, why we carry ourselves the way we do, why we raise our families the way we do. It's not because of a list of rules, but because I have an inspiration by the Spirit to see the workings of the enemy and the spirits that exist that would want to overcome me, overtake my children and my family. And as I have this vision and this discernment, then I walk in my steps orderly then as God has put in order. And I would inspire us this afternoon that if you live in a place of darkness, maybe you've even gotten saved, but it seems things are blurred, that there is a place that God has to give you sight, to give you vision, to give you the ability to discern. This is where the enemy is at. And I reiterate again that if you cannot identify him, to find a place in God that you begin to see where the enemy works. If you don't feel the checks of the Spirit, if there's not times that he doesn't come down and things are not revealed in revelation, it's almost always by his word. The scripture tells us that the revelation, the fullness of him that comes from the revelation, the ability to read and to understand, and as the Spirit enlightens that then, this book was written how long ago, but the Spirit applies it to the world we live in today. The spirit of Satan is not different. It's the same. He still wants to bring you to the same place through the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, all of his tools that he uses. The spirit is no different that we face now, but the word is still able to be applied by his spirit to put us in a place of power and vision and sight to be able to live an acceptable and holy life in 2010. It's my confidence then, as I raise my children, I have small ones, and I don't proclaim to know everything, but I'm confident that not necessarily as I get them in touch with everything that I do, but as I get them in tune with the Spirit, that they see the spiritual aspect of what is occurring and what is going on, that they would then order their steps also. When I train them up in the way that they should go, it's in following the Spirit of the Lord, that they have sight like we do, that they are able to see and identify the workings of the enemy, because I don't know what is going to exist in their generation and their time. I may not live to see their full age. I may not live to see my grandchildren. But if I can train them and teach them how to be in touch with the Spirit of the Lord, they will be able to live holy and acceptable lives in their generation and their time, despite what the enemy is working, despite how the world is prevailing. The power of God will still be able to teach and to hold them and lead them and guide them. This is our burden. This is our desire. If we're going to be effective as a church, as a body, as individuals in our congregations, we must have the discernment as to what is going on and where the spirit of the enemy is working and where God is wanting to work with us also. Sometimes it's with small tools. Sometimes we work in easy things. Sometimes it's close work when small tools are needed. Other times a big hammer is needed. But the important aspect is that we're in tune, that we see where the enemy is working, that our eyes go beyond the natural, and we see the spiritual world of what is existing and where the enemy is working. The scripture in Isaiah in the 32nd chapter talks about the voice that's behind you to turn to the left or turn to the right. To lead us even in this world, the prophet knew what would come. He knew the time of the fulfillment of having the Spirit to lead us and guide us. We need that Spirit today more than ever. I will share this burden with you. I believe that even as we see the darkness of our time, as we see the things that press in upon us, that it's really no different than any other time. I believe the spirit of Satan has worked against the church, against any saved soul in any place for as long as he's been around. We can go back to the Garden of Eden and see it. But if we are able to be in tune with the voice of the Lord, no matter if you lived in the 1500s or the 1600s, it doesn't really matter. If you're in tune with the Spirit that you can identify and see, then we come through this. We come through this in a place. And it's why it's not in our efforts. It's why it's not in our we're not saved by our works, but it's by His grace and by the enlightenment and revelation that He gives that we are acceptable before Him. I think it was this morning someone mentioned, I think it was Brother Michael, was saying that it's when we say yes to the Lord, yes, that's that place of hearing. Yea, Lord, I can see where the enemy is working, and yes, Lord, I understand that. I'll give you an example, as I'm not one to typically preach on things. But the music that is in our world today, used to, especially when I was a young man, you don't think much about it. And I'm thinking especially of some of the pop music that is out there and some of the things that exist. If you really look and listen to the spirit behind that, and this is my burden, that we look beyond the things that we see with our eyes and we realize the spiritual aspect of what exists. It's more than just the music. It's what exists and the desire and the intent behind it. And as we begin to understand that and see that, it begins to form then our steps and what we allow and don't allow in our lives. It's not enough just to say don't listen to the music, but understand and see what is behind it. See the spirit of it and recognize the place that He wants to bring you. Let's not sugarcoat what Satan looks like. Let's understand his depravity, his ugliness, the sickness, the place he wants to bring souls to. And as we begin to see that, it creates that abhorrence that we have towards evil, that separation that we want to have. And then we begin to see where those spirits are working, and then we begin to conduct ourselves accordingly. But if we have no vision, if we have no sight, if I cannot set a separation between what is good and what is evil, if I'm not able in my life to look and realize that this is not something that is conducive, that this is not something that speaks to the Spirit of God, then it is something I'm going to be very careful with and probably set a separation then as to something I don't want to be involved with, because I recognize the spiritual aspect of what's behind it. Isaiah also, it talked about... Oh, maybe we'll get it. I read you most of my references. Most of these scriptures are familiar scriptures. And if you want the... I can share those with you if you need them. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. Isaiah in the 5th chapter and in the 20th verse. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." This is the world that we live in. All you have to do is begin to look and listen to what exists around us, and they call evil good and they call good evil. It is blurred. It is flip-flopped in most places, and most of those folks that you will talk to are very wise in their own sight. They feel that they see it and understand it. And I truly believe in their mind that they believe they see it as it should be. But until they come in tune with the Spirit, until it is revealed that you see the spiritual aspect, then they are in a place of blindness. They will call evil good, and they will call good evil. It is one of the blessings as children of God of following Him that we are able to identify those things as they truly are, that we can live acceptably before God. Many times, especially I'm thinking of Paul, would talk about that he would present them to the one or would commit them to the one that was able to present them faultless. Speaking of Christ, in Him is what is right, is what is clean, is what is good. And as we enter into that, we are then able to understand. Part of my burden is also that as we come to the Lord, it's a good place to come. To seek salvation and to get it, that it's the beginning of the foundation of our relationship with Him. And we find that as Jesus walked on the earth, those that followed Him and desired it. But after He resurrected, there was a purpose for Him returning to heaven and for His death, that there would be one that would come after. There is a need for this one that would come after. It is a good thing to enter into the resurrection, to obtain salvation, but then there is a life of understanding that then follows that, see? It doesn't stop just at the justification of the cross and the sacrifice of blood, but then there is a calling for us to go on then and to live a different and a changed life that is acceptable before God. This is the reason that the Comforter would come and lead and guide us into all truth. And in other words, give us vision and understanding as how to live acceptably before God. If I stay in the place of the cross and there is a place of feeding for a time there where the Lord will deal with us and work with us, but there is a time then to go on as the disciples went to the place of waiting, as they went and they tarried there till they be endued with power. They didn't go out and begin to preach the gospel right away, but they waited until the Spirit came that they might be equipped then to deal with the afflictions and the things that the enemy would come at them against. How many times when they followed Jesus did they miss the point? How many times did they ask a question amiss? Or Jesus would tell them, get behind me. Their vision and their understanding was mostly topical. There was a reason they needed to wait, that they be fulfilled with the Spirit, that they could then walk then, holy and pure and righteous, spreading the gospel in clarity, without any mixture of human, without any aspect of any of themselves, but as the Lord inspired and as He led. It's no different in our lives today that as we come to the Lord, it's a good place to come to seek the repentance and the place of reconciliation with God. But there is a need then to move on and have a growth experience, to be able to be infilled, to be able to see for yourself the rights and the wrongs that exist, to be able to create a separation in your life between what is clean and what is unclean, to be able to have that relationship and that knowledge with God, that I identify where the enemy is working, that I might be successful. It's great to be in a congregation, but the beauty of this salvation is you can be like Sammy Morris in the forest, or you can be off over here by yourself, and by that Spirit you can come to the same understandings of where the enemy is working as I do over here in my life and the things that I'm fighting. It's the same Spirit. It's the same places that the enemy is wanting to work. And if our eyes are dimmed, if we're not in a place of vision and being able to see it, then we're in a very dangerous place. We will not be able to know how to lead. We will not be able to know how to set the example. We'll not know which direction to point if we're not able to see clearly where the enemy is working. Thought of also, there is a danger when we begin to separate, the Lord begins to deal with us in a place as we override that. If we do not allow God the full access to begin to point out those things to us, and we allow ourselves to let those things sit there, there will become a dimming that comes from that. And this is my burden. That if we allow those things to exist, then our vision as to what is right and what is wrong can become dimmed. And we're not able to see it clearly. And then when we begin to try to live our lives as acceptable, until you come back and clear this, and I've experienced this, especially in my younger life, you can try to override it. You can try to continue on. But most times when you get close to the Lord and begin to seek Him, He'll bring those things back. It's time to deal with those things that your eyesight might be clear. That you might be a place to be able to discern properly what is right and what is wrong. And I would challenge you or inspire you or encourage you, however you want to look at it this afternoon, that if you are in a place where you know that it's not quite right with God, that you be careful of the decisions and the choices you make. Because your sight is not clear. Your vision is not clear. Especially concerning spiritual things, there needs to be a very carefulness there. Because my eyes are dimmed. I don't see the enemy as I need to see him. It's not clearly defined. And as he is able to do all, transform himself into an angel of light, there are multiple ways that he is able to come and attack us and come at us. And we need to have the clear spiritual vision. I believe this afternoon, I have full confidence in the power of the Spirit of the God to take every single one of us, despite our circumstances, despite our personalities. We're not all cookie cutters. We're not all the same. But can take each one of us in the place where we're at and give us the sight to understand where the enemy is working on us, to set a separation in our life between what is right and what is wrong, that when we reach the end of our days, we'll have been accepted and lived a holy life before Him. Pray for me.